Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, Addicted to Health. My name is Emily E, and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness, nutrition, and business, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to reach your breakthrough in life. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together.
Jake Wan helps high performers transform their mind and body by using their breath. He is a mind and body performance coach who has a unique ability to guide people toward finding their true selves and inner power. He has extensive experience as a breathwork facilitator, health expert, and energy healer. And he's developed a deep understanding of the mind-body connection and how to access and harness your own energy to achieve your optimal wellness and performance. Today, we will learn what to do if you are always tired, what chemicals to stop surrounding yourself with, top five habits you should be doing every single day, and how to release stress to be set free. Jake, welcome to Fit Food Junkies podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
So excited to have you. I feel like every single day I go on Instagram and I'm like, I learn new things from you about like, oh my God, I have to stop doing this or I have to incorporate this. So if you don't already follow Jake, I'm like, thank you for just like opening my mind every single day. Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I do it for.
What blossomed your passion to share all these tips, tricks, and habits to your audience?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really last March, April of 2022. I was in a business relationship. I moved from Austin to Houston for it, and it was just not a good relationship and was pretty toxic. And I went to a conference, and I was like in this coaching business, and I went to the conference, and people there were just talking about speaking their truth and coming from a heart space with the work that you do. And I was sitting next to the person that I was in this business relationship with. And I just remember like looking at this person and then looking at the stage and being like, I got to change some things and I got to start speaking my truth. And it was from there, I was just in like, I was still in Houston, not in a great situation. And I just decided like, hey, I'm going to get myself out of this position and I'm just going to start sharing what I know I have to share. It was just kind of like an awakening moment. And then from there, I just went full on with it and haven't looked back since.
Why did you feel unsettled or kind of out of it?
Yeah, it was just at the time, I didn't really know. I was holding on to so many things from my childhood. Mm-hmm. I was also holding on to a lot of scarcity and fear from my mom's side of the family that I didn't know I was holding on to. It was just a lot of not being seen, heard, listened to while I was growing up. So I was just kind of in a low place in my life. And that was having me attract not the right people into my life. I was very vulnerable. And so energetically, I wasn't in a great place. And that's just what made me feel like I knew there was a part of me that was meant to like make this beautiful impact in the world. I was just holding on to a lot of things that weren't necessarily mine that was keeping me from that.
I love that you touched upon energy because I'm a big energy person. Like in 2 seconds, if I meet someone, I can bounce off their energy and I can tell if I want that person to be in my life and I want to surround myself with that person. And that's a big thing. And I feel like that's something that probably was probably a part of that struggle, surrounding yourself with that negative energy. Can you touch a little bit upon the energy piece and like how you feel energy around people and how that has helped or hurt your healing journey?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was started this journey or when I was not in a great place in my life, I was attracting lower vibrational people. So people that wanted to go out on the weekends and get drunk, and that was a part of myself, like drinking a couple of days throughout the week, not always taking care of my body, not getting the best sleep, and I was attracting those types of people because I was on a lower vibrational frequency, and that's what you attract when you're there. And at that time, I wasn't aware of it, didn't have the awareness around, okay, this is the energy that I'm putting out, therefore this is the energy that I'm attracting to myself. So when I went through really my own healing journey, that is when now I know my energy and I'm able to feel into it from others. So like when I meet somebody, when I'm around somebody, I just feel it. And so that's a big part of what I do now is surrounding myself with those higher vibration people, because that's what lifts me up, is if I am around people that have that good energy, therefore good energy attracts to me, I'll rise up, I'll keep growing. So that's a huge, huge crucial part, but it really started from my own healing that I was able to feel the other energies around me.
If someone is really struggling, like maybe they feel like they have good energy, but they're almost like they feel very stagnant in life with their group of friends, their environment, they don't know how to get out of that. Like you almost feel too comfortable to change, to find a new group of friends. And it's a lot, it's hard when you've known the people for a while. Do you think it's possible to still have those people in your lives if maybe they don't bring exactly the same goals and habits and energy that you want, but to still break away a little bit and find different groups of environments and friends?
I'm going to give it to the listener straight. You got to cut those people out in the nicest way possible. Like you can still have love for those people in their life, but if they're not lifting you up, you just have to have the honest conversation. You can have a conversation like, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. And you can either be here and be along for the ride and rise with me. And if you don't rise with me, then I love you, but I'm going to have to cut you out. And that is doing that in the most loving way, and also love for yourself, because you can't have any loose ends. You can't have people dragging you down. You can't have anchors in your life. Like you have to have people that rise you up. So just really dictating, like, do you want to create a better life for yourself? Then you're going to have to cut out those people that are lowering your energy.
I always hear the quote, don't water plants that don't want to grow. And it's like, if you want to grow so much and those people around you aren't wanting to do the same, it brings you down. And I'm not trying to sound selfish, but at the same time, I think you also have to make yourself a priority and find people that are going to build you up. And it's hard to hear that, but it sounds like you had to do that for your healing journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in a small town in Rhode Island around people that live normal lives. Everybody there already getting married and like having kids, and it's just a very like normal way of living. And I knew from the time and I was 5 years old that I wanted more for myself. And so that's why I left Rhode Island. And the beautiful part about it is that as I started to go and do this for myself, I do see some of my like friends from back home and people that I used to hang around with, like starting to recognize that they have more power inside of themselves. Like seeing my social media and interacting with it and like, hey, I'm trying breathwork now. Hey, you inspired me to go to the gym. Like I'm making it a priority now. So there are some that will rise with you. And also by you rising yourself, you're doing the best thing for those people. If you stay in the same spot and you just keep living the same life, you're not doing the best for yourself, nor are you doing the best for those other people. But if you rise up and you make the changes, then those people that are needing that guidance will rise with you.
What do you think the impetus was, though, for you to want to rise and want to escape that negative energy or those people?
To be honest, I just have always had this voice or like just something that is guiding me. It just feels like, it honestly feels like my higher self. That is just always there giving me guidance along the way. Now I listen to it a lot more than I used to, but there was just this like force, this little voice that would say like, hey, let's just go to California. Hey, let's just go to Austin. Let's try this. It might not make any sense. And at the time I didn't really know why I was doing that. But yeah, ever since I was little, there's like this little voice, this little guidance that kind of carries me. And I just decided to start trusting it.
That's crazy, right? It's like having the trust within yourself, because I've noticed this in the past with myself or with clients, that the second you trust yourself, and when I say yourself, it's almost like that mind-body connection, it even causes you to lose weight, or like your body needs to trust you that you're not going to deprive itself, or you're not going to whatever it is that's kind of it's kind of that little habit that might not be the best for you, right? But I think the second you start, your body and your mind start to trust you, like that's when everything happens. And it's hard.
Yeah, everything starts to align. Yeah, like the mind has to trust the body has to trust the mind, and your true self has to trust all of it.
Right.
So as you start to listen to the body, then the mind starts to like work in coherence.
Yeah.
With everything together. So yeah, you just have to find that trust within yourself.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's hard. Like sometimes you have to take like the body with you, take the mind with you. Like the really acting as your true self. Like to get woo-woo for a second. Like you have a body but you're not your body. You have a mind but you are not your mind. And then there's that true self that sometimes just has to like carry you. And be like, hey, body, hey, mind, we're going and doing this. And then they start to all work in coherence.
I got into a car accident 2 years ago, and I could feel the mind-body connection effect that my body was inflamed after. And, like, it was almost like that state of trauma or that state of stress. And it was, like, a pretty, pretty gnarly accident. Lucky to be alive. But it's crazy, though, like, I didn't start losing all that inflammation, whether like physically and mentally, that emotional feeling, until I trusted myself and like actually had that mutual feeling within my own body and mind to let go and to kind of like break free of the trauma. So that it's so important to trust yourself. And I know you spoke about your mom, your healing and past. If you're comfortable sharing about that part of your life and how that started your healing journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have all the love for my mom. She's a big part of why I am the way that I am now and living the life that I am. But yeah, growing up, I didn't really realize this until I was about 24, 25. And these things started to come back to me, like these flashes of my childhood. And it was just, I just remember myself saying like, you never listen to me. You don't understand me. And growing up, I didn't know how to deal with that. So like that feeling of being a child and never being listened to, makes you feel very like worthless and not in like searching for love. Like, why won't you love me? And then that in relationships too, like just searching for love. So that was something that like really started to hit me at like 23, 24. The same types of relationships, the same types of girls would keep showing up in my life, and I would numb myself, to not feel those feelings. And so that, yeah, really went into my healing process. And one of the big things about my healing was healing my mom, my mom's mom, my mom's mom's mom, like that whole feminine side of my family. Because when we go into our own healing, we have the ability to heal seven generations before us and seven generations after us. So like I was the person that got handed down seven generations of like scarcity and fear, not knowing how to be loved. And that's all that my mom was feeling. She didn't know how to give love because she wasn't loved herself. And so that just hit me the hardest. And it was about a year of like plant medicine, breath work, like going in and doing the deep work over and over and over and over again. And each time I would feel the left side of my body, like the feminine side, start to clear a little bit more, clear a little bit more, clear a little bit more. And then it was a psilocybin mushroom experience with one of my mentors where it all just finally left me. And I was like outside for 4 hours just like purging and letting go and like and it was heavy and it was deep and it was dark. But I just felt like their pain and suffering, and I just kept saying to them, like, I felt them. I saw their faces. I saw my grandma. I saw my great-great-great-grandma. And I just kept saying to them, like, this wasn't yours to hold. It's not your fault. You can be loved. You can be free. And that was like the really big moment where it all just like left.
Wow. Wow. When was this?
This was March of this year.
Okay, this is so, okay. So you've had your business for a while, but you've recently were able to release and set yourself free.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's wild. And how old are you?
26.
So 26 years of your life, like you've been feeling like you have this internal stagnation, like that can't let out of your body.
Yes.
Wow. Do you think that journey that you had, do you think you can find that release in other ways other than, which sounds super cool, your mushroom experience, but do you think you can have that outlet in other ways too?
Absolutely. That's why I focus on the breath so much, because we can get ourselves to that same place of release or receiving that we can with a plant medicine ceremony. And that's one of the big things that has come through in my plant medicine ceremonies is like, you don't need this to get to the same place. That's a voice that has come through like strongly. Like, you don't need plant medicine to get to this place. You can use your breath. And so, yes, we can get to those same places. Plant medicine is like it accelerates it times 100.
Got it.
Like, it just throws you in.
Whoa.
And sometimes people need that. Like, sometimes, like, I've done ceremonies with 40 other like entrepreneurs and business people. Like, they're in a place where they just need to like be thrown into it. But as we get like a little bit more conscious, we can take ourselves to that same place and do the healing work without needing to do an 8-hour ayahuasca ceremony. Like, you can just go into like a deep breath work session and you'll be good.
That's so wild to me. Like, I keep hearing more and more about this, and it's just like, it's wild in like a cool, like such a unique and cool way. But and it's so crazy. You're talking about like entrepreneurs and like people who you think, oh, have it all together. They're successful. And it's like, I also feel like if you find that emotional release, it's going to also be able to excel your business and all your other sectors of life too. But that's so cool. So now with breath work, what is it that you do every day or train your clients to do every day for them to learn to be set free?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. Yeah, my daily practice, what it looks like is I will wake up and then immediately go into my breathwork practice. So it's typically 15 to 30 minutes of time that I do breathwork and then go into a meditation, and then I go into the cold. So that's like the process of like breathwork, meditation, cold. That is my daily practice. I'll also do it before bed to get myself... So like the morning practice gets me ready for the day. It's also the time that I connect with whatever you believe in, but like, it's just, I call it source for me. I tap into that, connect with it. And then before bed, it's to put me into a parasympathetic, like rest, chill out state. But what I start with my clients is like, I tell them, we want to take the path of least resistance. So when you wake up in the morning, instead of waking up, going on your phone, checking the news, checking emails, like wake up, go to the bathroom, find a comfortable spot, focus on your breath for 5 minutes. Like just in through the nose and out through the mouth. And that has the ability to transform your life. I have clients that I have one in mind. He wasn't doing any breath work, any meditation. And he started doing that practice for 3 to 5 minutes in the morning. And he texted me like 2 weeks later. He's like, bro, my, like, I am so much more present.
And alert.
This is, yeah, I'm alert. I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm more conscious. Like 3 to 5 minutes of focusing on your breath.
That's so wild. Cause I, okay. So I sometimes like can't sit still. I'm like energy up here, like a little energizer bunny. I'm a fitness instructor. So like, it's really hard for me to sit still. And I think meditation for me, I used to kind of force myself in the mornings to do like a 5 to 10 minute meditation. And it was a really big struggle for me. And I'm not saying meditation isn't amazing, which it is amazing, but I just, for me personally, you know, not, it's not a one size fits all approach. And breath work for me was something that lit me up and had such a transformative outlet for me because I was able to actually be active with my breath while calming my mind. So I was able to not think about, oh my gosh, when is this over? But like, whoa, the power in my breath. So in the morning, for someone that's starting off similar to me, that's just getting into breath work, trying to make this habitual every single morning, how many breaths should I do? What's the pattern? How long should I be doing it for?
Yeah, absolutely. So first thing I want to hit on there is like, I get that, like, I can't sit still thing all the time. Meditation is going to be really hard for you, for 99% of the population to like just sit and try to quiet your mind. Like that doesn't, it doesn't work like that. So breath work, what it allows us to do is start to tap out of the mind. When we focus on our breath, we stimulate a chemical inside of us called DMT. It's the same thing that like people will smoke and be shot off out wherever. But we have that inside of us. So when we stimulate that, it starts to tap, get us out of the mind and go more into the body. So that is why breathwork is such a powerful tool to start to quiet the mind so that you know what it feels like. So then you can get into a meditation much easier. Like I would always recommend start with breathwork and then go into a meditation. So when you just start out, like you want to establish a connection with the breath. The breath is your spirit. It's the first thing you do when you're born. You take your last breath before you die and it connects every single thing. So just focusing on your breath will start to take you into your body. So when you start out, like just in through the nose for 2 to 3 seconds, out through the mouth for 2 to 3 seconds. Just do that in the morning. And then once you establish that, you start to do that for a couple weeks.
How many times do you do it for?
For like 3 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, just 3 to 5 minutes, in for two, out for two. You can go up to like in for four, out for four. Just starting with that. That will allow you to start to feel into your body and know what presence feels like a little bit, because many of us don't know what presence is. And it will allow the mind to start to turn off a little bit. That will help you. Once you start doing that, there's breath work that I do and I guide all my clients with is just in the world that we live in, we have so many built up emotions. We carry so much with us. So that is what is not allowing your mind to quiet, because you have your past stored within you. Your past likes to talk all the time.
Right.
So we have to start to release some of that. When we go into breaths in through the mouth and out through the mouth, like quick breaths in and out, that is what allows us to tap into our nervous system. And it produces an emotional release. So you might be holding a lot of stress in your body. We need to start to remove that energy so that we can get to the peace. If we have all those things in you, it's going to be really hard to like feel present and relaxed. So if you go into like start with 3 minutes of in through the mouth and out through the mouth, quick, no space in between the inhale and exhale, like in and out into your diaphragm. Do that for 3 minutes and then go into in through the nose for about 2 seconds and then out for four through the mouth. You want a 1-to-2 ratio between the inhale and the exhale. That's what's going to get you into that parasympathetic relaxed state. So if you do 3 minutes of those big breaths and then you go into the breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth for 3 minutes, that the second 3 minutes you'll be like, oh, okay, this is what it feels like to be a bit more present, because we've cleared some space. We've cleared that like built up tension and that energy.
I'm going to have to do that.
Yes.
So thank you for that and everyone. When I start breath work or even meditation, I feel like my mind is like, when is this going to be over? Oh my gosh, I have a meeting soon. This like your mind starts just going in circles and I'm like, shut up, mind.
Yeah.
Calm, calm, calm. Breathe. Find the present moment. What do you tell your mind, or how do you settle your mind to find that presence?
Yeah, that's a really good and deep question. So through plant medicine, it teaches you how to surrender. Breath work can also teach you how to surrender. We think that surrender just means to like kind of just be open. Plant medicine takes you in a completely different way and like teaches you how to surrender. But yeah, so one of the thing that we have to do is like fully allow ourselves to listen to the mind and hear it and become aware of it, but we have to detach ourselves from that voice. So like that voice that comes in, all of us, many of us identify with that voice. That voice is your ego and it tries to keep you safe. So that's why when you go into a breathwork session, that ego comes through and is like, I don't like this. Go focus on this. This is what is normal for us. Let's just focus on that. I'm trying to keep you safe. That voice is a beautiful thing, but it doesn't always have your best intentions. Like, you have this ego, but you also have this voice inside yourself that knows what is meant to be doing. So you have to get into the practice of listening to the voice and then knowing inside what is best for you. Your heart, your intuition, talks to you in one sentence, and it's always positive. So if there's a voice that comes in and says, hey, this is stupid, let's stop doing this, that's not your intuition. That's not coming from a heart space. So you know that is not the voice to listen to. There's that little quiet voice inside that's like, hey, we're meant to be doing this, let's do this. Start to get into the practice of listening to that. That's, and to tie back in like plant medicine and surrender, that when, for instance, when I go into like a bufo ceremony, which I did like yesterday, and that's why this is like on the top of my mind, it comes in so strong, like that voice is so strong, like, I want to get out of this, I'm so uncomfortable, what the hell is going on? And you have to just like sit there and listen, and then like know that, listen to that little voice inside that's like, this is what you're meant to be doing. And when we come back to that, that is the place that we want to stay in.
And I think it's a lot about control too, right? And that sounds like you had such a special moment and experience yesterday, because I feel like now I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to that inside, that voice in me, my intuition. And then tomorrow I'm going to be like, okay, right? So what do you say to yourself in the moment though, when your mind starts to drift a little bit? Because it's so easy to say, I'm going to do it now.
The big thing is to say nothing.
That's a cool answer.
Yeah, that's what came through strong for me yesterday, was the ego comes in and it tries to keep you safe. And then you try to talk back with the ego and like start to say things yourself. Like, this is what is best for me. You try to have like some downloads and things come in. And when you just start to be quiet, that voice slowly starts to make its way through. It comes from the quietness. It comes from the stillness.
That's cool.
Yes.
And it takes practice too, of course.
Yes, it takes a lot of practice.
I feel like I just went through like a little experience there. I'm excited to incorporate this tomorrow.
Yeah.
What are our other habits that people should be doing every single morning?
Very good question.
Loaded question. I know you're like, how much time do we have?
Yeah, so like, with what I do, there's really like seven pillars. There's the breath, there's the cold, there's nature, there's community, there's spirituality, there's nutrition, and I'm definitely forgetting one, but those are like the main ones.
Movement,
thank you. My girlfriend always reminds me of that too. I always forget movement. So in the morning, we want to connect ourselves with nature, because that brings down inflammation, it brings down stress, and it connects us with ourselves. So we want to connect with nature, we want to connect with our breath, and we also want to make sure that we hydrate. So this is kind of like a typical morning routine, is when you get up, immediately go into your breath. When you get up, hydrate yourself, because you just slept for hopefully 8 hours, but however long you slept for, we have to hydrate ourselves, because we were just dehydrating. So hydrate yourself, because that's going to allow you to, that's just kind of what gets the energy flowing. We are a vast majority water, so we need something to allow that energy to flow through us. Then get into your breath, whatever that practice is, we've talked about it. And then like connect with yourself. or connect with a higher power of whatever you believe in. Like, it's really good to have that relationship. So this could be like a really quick prayer. It doesn't have to be something religious. For me, it's not religious. It's just more a spiritual like connection with myself. Mm-hmm. So like, my heart is open. Let me attract abundance. Let me attract love. Let me be in the beautiful giving and receiving of the universe. Like, just something quick like that. Mm-hmm. And then get your feet into the ground and see the sun. So the sun is like sets. We are connected directly with the sun. As it rises, we have hormones within us that are stimulated. So like, when the sun rises, if you have a good circadian rhythm, your cortisol will start to rise, and then that will make you more awake. So you're signaling to your body, hey, it's time to wake up. Let me stimulate these hormones so that I'm awake. I'm ready to go for the day. Mm-hmm. And that will get you into a really good place. So like, those five habits would be in the morning, hydrate, breath, connection with self, grounding, and sun. Mm. And if you do that every day, I promise you, you're going to start to feel a lot better.
It sounds amazing, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's overwhelming to a lot of people that have full-time jobs, plus like other things going on, and maybe like their work is very demanding, and which is most people, right? Mm-hmm. But like, I think to people that are not as into like the health and wellness world like us, it sometimes just feels like, whoa, I can't do this all. Mm. So something that's worked for me is like, okay, instead of when people were like, oh, you have to do 15, 20 minutes in the morning of meditation, I was like, all right, it's going to be like a 3-minute breath work for me. Or get sunlight. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for a walk in the morning. Mm. Cold exposure. Okay, I can do an ice bath like once a week. Mm-hmm. I wish I had one at home, but like, I'm gonna take a cold shower for like a minute and then I'll make it warm, you know? So I think there's like little snippets you could take of those seven pillars to make it your own and make what works for you. But for you, is there anything that sticks out that are like, these are my non-negotiables for the busy person that they like out of those seven pillars, if you had to choose your tops that are just like, you gotta do this, what would those be?
Breath. 100%. Like, if you don't do any of the other things, just focus on your breath. Because breath, it connects every single thing in your body. And as you start to connect with your breath more, you're going to start to connect with yourself more. Mm. So it's going to be, you're going to start to be like, oh, you're going to be more aware of what you put into your body. So that's a big part of it. You're going to be aware more of who you surround yourself with, because you're connecting with yourself. Like, yeah, you can start to eat well, but if you don't have a connection with yourself, you're not going to know why you're eating well. Mm-hmm. You can start to like go out into nature, but if you don't have a connection with yourself, you're not going to feel very connected with nature. Mm-hmm. So the breath is what allows you to establish that connection with yourself. So if you can't do anything else and you can do 3 minutes of breath work in the morning, start with that.
Oh, I like it.
And then you can start to bring in all the other things.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Like, start with one thing, build it, and then keep growing and adding on those seven pillars. Mm-hmm. I love that. Seriously, that's super cool. I feel like everyone focuses so much on your morning routine, which I feel like I've worked on really hard, and I feel like I finally got it down, right? But my nighttime routine needs some work. Mm-hmm. So Jake, help me out. For busy people, what are going, you know, switching to the nighttime, what are some habits that I need to do before I go to bed? Because I'm the kind of person, I'm like, you better not go straight to your computer when you wake up. You gotta do like stretch, you gotta move, whatever it is, like breath work. But nighttime, I try to read a little bit before I go to bed, but like, I definitely need to get some good habits going on, because I need to turn my phone off, all the things. We're not doing so great there. So help me out.
Absolutely. I'll start with like a busy person, and then I'll tell you what mine is, so we can have like two sides of it.
Yeah.
So the reason that most people's sleep sucks is because we're in a sympathetic nervous system state all day. Mm-hmm. We go on our phones, sympathetic. And sympathetic is your fight or flight system. We developed that when we were evolving and we had to like go out on long treks and search for food and like to avoid a tiger trying to kill us. Like, we had to have that fight or flight system so that we could survive. But now a text message will put us into that state, an email, a social media post, somebody cutting us off in an intersection. So we live in that state and we don't know how to get out of it. And that is why we can't sleep well and we wake up tired every single day. It's because of that. We have to do a practice that gets us into a parasympathetic rest, relaxed state. That's where we get good deep sleep in. So the big thing is to put your phone away.
How much time before bed?
Ideally an hour.
Okay.
But for an everyday person, if it's like 10 to 15 minutes,
okay,
that will go.
Let's start there.
Let's start there. That will be okay. But ideally, like, yeah, put your phone in a different room, mm-hmm, put it on airplane mode, mm-hmm, and just put it away from yourself. Mm-hmm. So like 10 to 15 minutes before, just put that away.
All right, I need to get an alarm clock instead of using,
yes,
my phone.
Yeah. We have like a hatch, mm-hmm, that like goes off at the same time and it's like a sun rising.
Oh, I've seen those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so cool. those are good. That's what we have in our room. But yeah, put the phone away like 10 to 15 minutes before bed and then just do some breath work. Like at night, the second half of what I said before was the one in the morning, like the 1-to-2 ratio between your inhale and exhale. That's going to put you into a parasympathetic state. So that or box breathing is really good as well.
Mm.
So box breathing, it's, you can just start with a 4-second inhale, a 4-second hold, a 4-second exhale, a 4-second hold, all through your nose.
How many times?
You can do that for 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
So that will be like 10 to 15 rounds.
Okay.
And you just do that before you go to bed. So like put the phone away and then brush your teeth and then do your breath work and then go to bed.
Okay.
So that can be like the starting point.
Okay. Also to add to that, I'm going to start doing some breath work before bed because I don't do that. Mm. And the phone situation, we're working on it. But also I like to have a little bit of magnesium before I go to bed. And it also helps to relax, mm-hmm, me. It helps with sleep, helps decrease inflammation. It's like my little nighttime drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have that while I do some breath work.
Nice. Yeah. Magnesium is really good as well.
Yeah.
To take before bed. It helps put you into that state. So that's a good thing as well. I'll tell my, so if you want to work your way up.
Yeah.
All
right, let's go.
So it's kind of like my sleep is extremely important because it allows me to have the energy during the day to like put out all that I can.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of starts like around dinner time. Mm-hmm. So I'll eat dinner around 6:37, ideally. Sometimes it's a little bit later.
I need to eat a little earlier. Go on.
Yeah. Yeah. So ideally like 6:37 so that I'm not eating 2 to 3 hours before bed. Mm-hmm. So that when I'm sleeping, my body is focused towards sleep and recovery, mm-hmm, and not digestion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. We'll eat dinner like, 3 hours before bed. And then afterwards go for a walk. So we take the dog, going on a walk at dusk, that's what tells your body, like, hey, it's time to start to wind down because we're in line with the sun. Sun's going down. Okay, it's time for myself to start to go to bed. Then after the walk, I'll typically just myself spend some time with my girlfriend, just connecting. We'll talk about the day, just have that time for each other. And then, like, she'll go and she'll do her nighttime routine. She loves to read. So she goes and reads and does her breath work and skincare and all that good stuff. But I'll put my phone away. I'll put it on airplane mode. And then like an hour before bed, I will either read or put on my blue light blocking glasses. So I have like nighttime ones that block all the blue lights.
I saw your recent video.
Yeah. So put on blue light blockers that block out all the blue lights. We have lights in our house that go to red light at night. So this is like, so there's no blue light. There's nothing telling my body that it's daytime, that it needs to be up still. And I'll either listen to a podcast or do some reading while stretching. So like I will put an audiobook on the TV or a podcast and then just do some stretching. This allows any tension in my body to,
mm-hmm,
be put out, and then I'll do breath work and then go to sleep.
I also saw in your video you had tape on your mouth. Jake, yeah. What else do I need to do?
Yes. So the ultimate extreme.
We're working ourselves up there.
Yeah, yeah. We're working ourselves up there. I'll put on, I forget the name of the, it's called like sleep tape or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I put mouth tape on my mouth. So that I'm breathing through my nose while I sleep. If we're breathing through our mouth, that puts us into more of a sympathetic state so that we are in a more of a stressed out state while we sleep. Mm-hmm. We want to breathe through our nose. It's also like if you have crooked teeth or weight gain, if you're sleeping with your mouth open, this can cause that as well.
Really?
Yes.
How?
Just because you're putting your body in more of a sympathetic state. So your cortisol and your hormones are screwed up. Mm. And when your cortisol is higher, then you gain more weight.
Interesting. I dealt with high cortisol for a while. And I had to learn to balance and do all the things to bring it back to homeostasis.
Yes.
Whoa, that's so cool. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to be, like, sending you, be like, oh, my God, ready, phone away. Actually, I won't be sending it to you because my phone is
Yeah, you'll send it to me in the morning. Yeah.
That's so interesting, though, because I think a lot of people think, like, oh, woo-woo, this and that. But, like, you've gone through this whole healing journey and, like, added all these things in and, like, manifested where you are now, which I think is so admirable, really. Mm. Also, you talk a lot about why you always feel tired, right? Mm. So implementing all these nighttime habits, if you do them, even if it's a little bit, like breath work, stretching, putting your phone away, do you think that's going to also cause for you to not feel as tired when you wake up?
Yeah, absolutely. Because your sleep is what gives you the energy during the day. Mm-hmm. Most people are walking around with an iPhone battery always in the red. And that's not where we want to be. We want to get up into the green. Mm-hmm. So by doing these practices, that's what you're going to allow yourself to do. You're going to allow yourself to get into those deep sleep REM cycles so that you aren't tired throughout the day. Like you wake up with energy. These practices, it might sound like a lot, but our bodies evolved to rest and recover and relax and then be able to give it out during the day. Mm. And as you like get in line with the sun, these are just all things that are going to allow your energy to rise and get your body into the natural state that it's supposed to be in.
And start small and then keep growing into it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, one step at a time.
And also you talk a lot about chemicals in the house, of what not to surround yourself with, what kind of water to drink. Mm. It's very eye-opening. Very eye-opening. What are some top maybe brands or ingredients or chemicals that I should that need to be outside of my environment right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So Clorox, bleach, Dawn, like all those things are just chemicals. Mm. And they interact with the cells of our body and you have a cell membrane. So, and we want like a strong cell membrane. Mm-hmm. And these chemicals, what they do is they interact with the cell membrane and they'll basically make it more permeable so that toxins and things can start to get in. Mm-hmm. And this has negative effects on our DNA. It has negative effects on our gene expression, our hormones. So we want strong, healthy cell membranes. So this goes into the chemicals that are in your home. Your home is probably one of the most like chemical and toxin filled places because we track in everything from the world. Mm-hmm. Like your shoes will bring in stuff. Your dog will bring in things. Your kids brings it all in. So you want to use sustainable products and like with cleaning, like we typically just use like vinegar. Mm-hmm. Like put vinegar and water in a spray bottle, that cleans everything.
My mom swears by that. She's so funny. She's like, I saw this thing on TikTok, of course, right? And and she's been doing it, but she uses it to like wash her berries. Mm-hmm. She's using it to clean, and like it's obviously the purest form of cleaning product. And it's so funny. She's like, you don't have vinegar in your house? Okay, I'll get some.
Yeah.
So that's so interesting. So you're like, you're not even recommending another brand. You're like, for cleaning, just use vinegar.
Yeah, like literally like washing your clothes, baking soda and vinegar.
So is that how you wash your clothes?
Yeah.
How much of each?
That would be a question for my...
For your girlfriend.
For my girlfriend.
Okay, okay. Okay. But I'm going to look this up. Baking soda and vinegar to wash. So I don't even... Because I get those... I think they're a little bit more natural, but it's like that flat... It's like almost like looks like a piece of paper. And it's supposed to be more natural to wash your clothes. Have you seen those before?
Yeah, I've seen those. That's like a... That's like the next best step.
Okay, okay.
But if you went into a grocery store... They wouldn't be able to sell vinegar and water.
Right.
So it's marketing. It's making
of
money.
Course. And it cleans your clothes well.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So that's what, yeah, that's what
my
people
mom's
use.
Gonna now try it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's literally all you need is just vinegar and water, and baking soda when you put your clothes in the whatever the what is it called?
Yeah, yeah, the washer.
Yeah, the washer and dryer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Okay, cool. And then, in terms of like other products, I know people always say like it can cause cancer or this. Mm. Even sunscreens. It's like the most popular sunscreens and those sprays. I'm like, what am I actually spraying on my body? What is doing more harm to me, the chemicals on my body or me having the sun exposure? Mm. Right. It's like a double edged sword.
Yeah.
Are there any specific sunscreens you use?
Olive oil and coconut oil.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Olive oil and coconut oil, and it protects you from the sun?
Yep. It has, so like
is there an SPF on there?
Yeah, yeah. Coconut oil and olive oil have SPF in it.
No way.
Yes.
You should start your own brand.
I know. Like olive oil sunscreen.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm mind blown. I'm gonna be a little slippery.
Yeah, you'll be a little bit slippery. It's a little bit different. But yeah, so like if you spray sunscreen on your body, you're spraying chemicals.
Yeah.
And like your cell membranes. So this is the interesting thing about it, is that if you spray sunscreen on your body, you're spraying chemicals on your skin. And I talked about the cell membranes. So you're breaking down your cell membranes, which actually expose you more to the sun's rays.
Whoa, okay.
So once that stuff washes off, like you're going to get sunburned.
Yeah.
If you put olive oil or coconut oil, those strengthen your cell membranes. So you are naturally protecting yourself against the sun. And the sun is something that we want to expose ourselves to.
Yeah.
Like it gives us a lot of energy. It boosts like vitamin D and things like that. So we want to expose ourselves to the sun, and coconut oil and olive oil can protect us more against it.
Oh my gosh, that's so, so wild.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Coming full circle here, I just want to share this quote that has nothing to do with chemicals, but just about you that you posted about that really hit home with me. Mm. It says, 90% of all disease and sickness is due to stored emotions inside the body. The body is screaming that it needs to release something, and we shut it down and don't allow it to feel what is needed to be felt. How can we be set free? So thank you so much for sharing with us today how we can be set free, whether it's through chemicals, through breath work, through your routines, through habits, all the things. So Jake, thank you so much. I want to ask you my last and final question. Mm-hmm. At Fit Food Junkies, our slogan is addicted to health. So what are you addicted to?
I am addicted to holding space for others to become the fullest expression of themselves.
Ooh, I haven't heard that one. I thought you were going to say breath work. Very cool.
It's that's what breath work takes us to.
There you go. Oh my gosh, I love that. Mm. And how can people connect with you?
Yeah, Instagram is my main spot. So Jake_Juan. It will be changing soon to The Conscious Coach.
Ooh, I like that name.
Yes.
Cool.
So, but that's where you can find me for right now. And that's where all my things are. So breathwork, coaching, one-to-one sessions. I have a cool membership that I'm working on with some developers. So that will be coming out soon too.
So exciting. Jake, thank you so much. Next time I see you, I'm going to be a changed, transformative person because of you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening today. If you haven't already, connect with Jake at Jake_Juan and me at Fit Food Junkies and let us know your biggest takeaway from today's episode. And maybe you will get a chance to try breath work this week. We'd love to hear about your experience.
Are you looking to repair, restore, and protect your hair? Well, I got you. Check out Olaplex, especially if you're trying to fight the frizz during the summer heat. I know I am. They have this whole kit to help you do so, especially focusing on hair repair treatment. Check out Olaplex now to help rejuvenate your hair and bring it back to its health. Are you looking for some new workout clothes? Maybe you don't want to get the same kind of thing you always get and you want to switch it up and find something unique. I cannot recommend LSKD enough. They are an Australian-owned, high-quality, functional sportswear brand with a street aesthetic. Not only is their stuff super cute, I just got a bunch of stuff, but they're so comfortable. I love all of their leggings especially, but also their sports bras, their shorts. They fit so well and they are so comfortable. Use my code now, FitFoodJunkie10, to receive a discount on your next purchase. Hope you get your breathwork sessions in after listening to this episode. And I am so excited that you are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.